Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming at you. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn, here to dive deeper on this Vikings-Seahawks game that's going to happen on Sunday. Another big game for your Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings enter with a record of 8-3. The Seahawks come in at 6-5. That means both of them are right smack dab in the middle of this NFC playoff chase right now. As it stands, even with the Green Bay victory last night, the Vikings sit atop the NFC North and in the third position in the NFC entering the game. The Seahawks at 6-5 are in second place in the NFC West. Therefore, they are a wild card. They would be the sixth seed. And you know what that means? If the playoffs did start today, this would be the first round playoff matchup in the NFC. It would be a wild card round game with the Vikings hosting the Seahawks. Interestingly enough, it's the second consecutive week that's the situation for the Vikings. If the playoffs had started last week, it would have been your Vikings hosting the Atlanta Falcons. So for the second straight week, the Vikings play a team they would have played in the playoffs if the playoffs had started that day. The playoffs didn't start that day, and they don't start on Sunday. And it's not a division game, but it's still a big game for your Vikings. This game will have big-time implications on what happens in the NFC playoff race, at least for the time being. The Vikings can leave week 13 as high as the number two seed if they win and if Arizona loses. The Vikings would be the two seed by virtue of the third tiebreaker record in common games, where the Vikings are 5-1 in common games and the Arizona Cardinals are 5-2 in common games. But the Vikings could also leave week 13 as low as the number five seed. If they were to lose, Green Bay would move in to the number three seed and the Vikings would drop down to the number five seed. Still a game ahead of the Seahawks if the Vikings drop this one. But nonetheless, more games to go even after this week. So the Vikings will be playing in a lot of big games the rest of the way. As for this game, Vikings and Seahawks, a lot of interesting storylines. There are historical ties between these two teams with players playing for both teams going from one to the other. Going all the way back to the days of the Purple People Eaters when bench warmer Bob Lertzema left the Vikings and ended up playing for the Seattle Seahawks, and then all the way through your current day players and coaches. Darrell Bevell was our offensive coordinator for a short stint, helped take us to the NFC title game in 2009. He is now the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator. You remember Tavares Jackson, of course. He plays for the Seattle Seahawks right now. So lots of ties historically between these two franchises. But really, when you look at this week's game, it's two nasty defenses coming together. Did a little bit of a defensive study on these two teams at some key categories. Third down defense, Seattle fifth, Vikings sixth. Total yards allowed per game, Seattle fourth, Vikings ninth. Passing yards allowed per game, Seattle ninth, Vikings fourth. Red zone defense, Seattle fifth, Vikings third. Fewest passing TDs allowed, Seattle first in the NFL with 11 passing touchdowns allowed. The Vikings have only allowed 14th. They're also in the top 10. And most importantly, scoring defense, Vikings second, Seattle eighth. So two very nasty defenses colliding in this game. There are some big-time playmakers on offense as well. If you look at Adrian Peterson and Russell Wilson, to name a couple, but this game is all about defense. Points should be at a premium. Speaking of Russell Wilson, the guy is slippery. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's been to two straight Super Bowls. The Seahawks are the two-time defending NFC champions. Russell Wilson is a big reason for that. No quarterback, however, has been sacked more than Russell Wilson. So that could be a weakness for the Vikings to exploit. Unfortunately, the Seahawks have been much better of late protecting Russell Wilson. Two straight games of only two sacks allowed, and if you go three back, zero sacks allowed. Also, Russell Wilson, number two in the NFL among quarterbacks in rushing yards. He's got 399 rushing yards, averages 5.1 yards per carry. So Russell Wilson, you can get to him, but if you miss, he's going to kill you because he can get out, buy some time outside of the pocket and throw it to receivers down the field, or he can tuck it and run it. Speaking of running it, no one is better at running it than the Vikings running back, Adrian Peterson, having another monster season. He has six 100-yard games so far this season. He is the NFL's leading rusher with over 1,300 yards, and he has eight touchdowns. Begs the question, should he be considered in the MVP conversation? Certainly Cam Newton, quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, who are undefeated, is up there. Tom Brady with the one-loss Patriots is up there. But after those two, who's next? I think you can make a compelling case for Adrian Peterson given how dominant he's been this season. Plus, Adrian's already won the MVP award, so we know that the voters will give it to a running back, even in a pass-happy league that is driven by quarterbacks today. Adrian won the MVP award in 2012. Looking back on the 2012 season, Adrian only slightly behind pace. At this stage of the season in 2012, Adrian had 74 more rushing yards than he has right now, so certainly a difference that Adrian could make up. Does he have a 2,000-yard season in store for us this season? Only time will tell, but he's certainly on pace to challenge that barrier. Also, one thing to watch for in the game on Sunday, he's one touchdown away from 100 career touchdowns. Adrian Peterson's next touchdown will be the 100th of his career. Who's in and who's out, we won't know for sure until Sunday, but three players to keep an eye on for the Vikings. Defensive tackle Linval Joseph did not practice this week. He's dealing with a leg injury. Andrew Sandejo was hurt last week in Atlanta. He has not practiced this week, so those two guys may or may not be able to make it. But we're optimistic on safety Harrison Smith, who did not play last week, but may be able to go this week. With two games against the Seahawks and Cardinals coming up, Harrison Smith could be a big key in each of those, so it would be awesome to have Harrison Smith back in the lineup, particularly if the Vikings are going to have to be without Linval Joseph and Andrew Sandejo. If Sandejo can't go, you look to Anton Exum or Robert Blanton to step into the starting lineup. If Linval Joseph can't go, what will happen is Sharif Floyd will move over and play nose tackle. Tom Johnson will likely step in and start at three technique at the other defensive tackle spot. So all of those injuries, you know, coaches hate talking about it, and it's a lot of speculation. We won't know for sure until 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday, which is when teams are required to declare the players who are in and the players who are out. So that's the quick rundown, the talking points on this Vikings and Seahawks matchup. We bring in Nate Vaughn. What did we miss, Nate? What do we not mention that we need to hit on before we move on?
Well, I think one guy we need to talk a little bit more about is Captain Munnerlyn.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming off back-to-back impressive games, the sack against Green Bay,
yep,
and then the pick against Matt Ryan down in Atlanta. So I think we should talk more about him, Wobby.
Let's
can you talk
it.
More about him?
I can. Here's cool. The deal with Captain. You got Xavier and Terrence on the outside doing a great job. Captain Munnerlyn has been doing a great job as a nickel corner in the slot. I mentioned before going through some of the key categories and defensive rankings. Fewest passing touchdowns allowed. The Vikings rank 7th in the league with just 14 passing touchdowns allowed. Red zone defense, they are 3rd. Scoring defense, they are 2nd. Passing yards allowed, they are 4th. I mentioned those categories because Captain Munnerlyn plays a key role in all of them. He's playing well, and the Vikings pass defense has jumped up. I don't think that's a coincidence. We talk about like Anthony Barr and Harrison Smith being able to contribute in a lot of different ways and filling up a box score. Well, how about this? A season-long box score for Captain Munnerlyn, Nate. Take a listen to this. 6 pass breakups, 3 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hits, 1 sack, 1 pick, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So your nickel cornerback is asked to participate in the passing game, obviously, because he's a corner and he's covering slot receivers. He's asked to participate in the run game because he's oftentimes playing very close to the line of scrimmage and has to come up and support the run. We saw Antoine Winfield do that for a long time at a very high level. Captain Munnerlyn is asked to do that. And then you're also asked to participate in some of the blitz and pressure packages. And Munnerlyn has done a good job with that. He's got a sack of Aaron Rodgers. He's gotten in and hit the quarterback twice, and he has 3 tackles for loss. So, yeah, player we should be talking more about, Captain Munnerlyn, absolutely fits the mold, having a very good season for the Vikings. And it's not a coincidence that the Vikings defense has taken another step forward this season after they took a huge step forward last season, and it's happening at a time when Captain Munnerlyn is playing well. All right, enough about what we think. Let's go to the outsiders to see what they think about this game. We've checked in with Maurice Jones-Drew a few times this season right here on the Wobcast. We go to the NFL Network preview once again, where MJD, oh no, man, don't do this to us. He's taking the Seahawks because he likes Russell Wilson. Take a listen.
As we get ready for week 13, dude, can you believe we're that deep in the season?
Oh, yeah. Because it's going to time to run that ball.
All right. Well, all right. So it is time to run the football. You got the Seahawks going into Minnesota. How do they stop the Vikings?
Well, you have to make Teddy Bridgewater beat you in the air.
And the way you do that?
Stopping Adrian Peterson. Tough task.
Well, that's an understatement.
It is a tough task. But I tell you what, right now, Minnesota's playing well. Adrian Peterson is leading the league with 38 rushes of 10 yards or more. Right now, 2nd, Doug Martin with 25. rushes of 10 yards or more. That to me is insane. This guy is getting better with time. That year off is starting to pay off for him.
He's getting better with time with age, but you could also say as the season progresses too, because at the beginning of the season, this was not the Adrian Peterson.
Well, no, I think that was a big coaching issue too as well. They were trying to get him to run out of the shotgun for some reason because Teddy Bridgewater's more comfortable with that. But your guy right now, the guy that leads your team, that's a captain and has his team playing the way it's playing, is Adrian Peterson. They have to continue to get him going.
Yeah, looks as impressive as ever week after week. You flip sides and you look at the Seattle Seahawks, and how about Russell Wilson tossing 5 touchdown passes to beat the Steelers? How do the Vikings stop him and the Seahawks?
Well, the biggest thing, and you see it here, you have to keep him in the pocket. And I thought Pittsburgh was doing a really good job early on. In the second half, they kind of let him get outside the pocket. You have to contain him. Make him throw the ball in rhythm. You know, it's usually you don't want a quarterback to do that. This quarterback, you want him to stay in the pocket.
He's not that guy.
He's not yet. You want him to sit in the pocket, not create plays with his legs and things like that. You want to continue to make him throw out of that tight area, because when he does that, he's not as accurate. And so right now, he's making a lot of plays. And so it scares me because Minnesota's defense is very aggressive in the past, but sometimes they'll run around him. Sometimes they don't like to come from the middle. You don't see as much the A-gap from Coach Zimmer as he was doing in Cincinnati. So it's a little tricky right now for me.
Interesting playoff storylines for both of these teams, depending upon the outcome of this game. Who wins?
This is one of the toughest ones. You know, I'm going to have to go with Seattle, though, because Seattle in December, they're 12-2 with Russell Wilson at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that changing. Huh. I see them making that run. They had the big game against Pittsburgh at home. Now it's time for them to take it on to the next level.
Look, it's looked like they've had some issues in recent weeks, but it feels like they're getting their swagger back, and a Seahawks team with swagger is a team to watch out for.
Oh, definitely. Right now, especially. And plus, you know, Russell Wilson in the last two games has 8 touchdown passes. In the previous 7, guess how many? The first seven.
7, I think.
Yeah, 7. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Getting ready for week 13 and the Seahawks and the Vikings.
That's enough of that, MJD. We want people who like the Vikings. So we found some. It's one of Nate Vaughn's favorite podcasts, Move the Sticks, with Danielle Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. They're buying on the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, let me jump back in with what else I'm buying here, Buck. That's the Vikings defense as being an elite group. We throw that word around a lot, elite. Man, I had a chance to go back and watch them against the Falcons. I know Matt Ryan has been struggling, but man, they smothered that offense. Xavier Rhodes traveling with Julio Jones, locking him down, and then not even playing with Harrison Smith, the guy who we've had on the show who we love is a physical presence. And then Everson Griffin off the edge. What he did to Jake Matthews was criminal, Buck. This defense is an elite. It's one of the 3 or 4 best defenses in national football.
Absolutely. Young, athletic talent on that defensive side of the ball. They can get after you. They can bring pressure. They can get after you with 4. They have the ability to lock you up on the outside. Xavier Rhodes playing outstanding football. Mike Zimmer's done a great job of changing the attitude. Rick Spielman deserves credit for assembling a nice cast of playmakers in the past 2 to 3 seasons in the draft. But Mike Zimmer has really pushed all the right buttons, getting those guys to play. And North Turner on offense, he compliments them by calling a game that doesn't put the defense at risk. Not a lot of turnovers from that offense. Defense is always able to play in favorable positions.
And Anthony Barr, a player who's been playing lights out, we're going to get to him a little bit later on in the show and break his game down, Buck. All right, give me one more. What else you buying? Real quick here, Buck, let's go through our standouts from week 12. And kind of rip through 3 names here. And to me, Adrian Peterson, I mean, I've referenced this game quite a bit today, but watching that game.
I mean, you have to be excited.
Watching him run the rock, man. This is like going in a time machine now. It seems like each week you're seeing more and more of that burst, the lateral quickness that he has, and then just a vicious nature that he finishes each and every run. Man, he's back.
He is absolutely back. I mean, you're talking about a 30-year-old running back that has explosive quickness and power. You have to like what you see here from Adrian Peterson.
Man, I love it. And when you kind of – look at some of these plays in particular here, Buck. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's facing a loaded box. And I say loaded box, I think 7-8 guys, I'm talking about 9-man boxes that he's seeing, and he's still doing his thing, finishing every single run, exploding through the hole. I mean, he's. I can't say enough about how good he's been.
You know, this is a team that's built to play playoff football. They run downhill. They give it to Adrian Peterson. He finds a way to get it done. There you're talking about 8 defenders in the box. Takes it downhill, slithers through, and this is what you want to see. Watch him walk out of this arm tackle. Look, if you're going to deal with Adrian Peterson, you better put your pads on him. If you don't put your pads on him, you have no chance. Physical, violent runner finds a way to get it done. You just don't see older running backs able to do this.
Yeah, and this is, again, we're talking about 8-man box. Now we see a 9-man box. You just watch the toss here. This is the sealer here to finish everything out. Nice job by Ryan Khalil getting out there. And then Kyle Rudolph, hey, hats off to him, man. Tight ends, we don't have anybody that blocks that position in the NFL. He blocked his butt off in this game, including right here on the game-sealing touchdown.
I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to be able to put Adrian Peterson not only in between the tackles, but you want to get him on the edge. That little toss crack play was a great job of North Turner finding a way to get him on the perimeter.
All right, Buck, is that time for our Move the Six plays of the week here? We got a lot of candidates. I'm going to go with a double here from Anthony Barr. Two plays that he made in this game against the Atlanta Falcons just to show you what kind of player he is. Like, he gets cut on the backside here. Tevin Coleman ends up popping a long run, but Anthony Barr doesn't quit. You can see that former running back in him to be able to close the gap down here. Hustled, ball gets turned back into the middle of the field. Not only does he catch up to him, get a little peanut to him, a little punch out right here. Punch
the ball out,
get a turnover. That was big time, but then you just watch him close when you see what he does against the quarterback. Buck, we know against the run, pursuit, effort, hustle, speed, all that's great. But he got drafted as high as he did for his ability to get after the quarterback and watch him close on Matt Ryan.
I mean, that's what you want to see. This is one of the things I was really intrigued by coming out of UCLA. His ability to get around the corner, to get to the quarterback, that's why you pay those guys big money. Playing the run and pass, Anthony Barr has quietly developed into that franchise player they thought he would be.
Yeah, we need to hear more about him, give him more credit from that draft class. What's your last one, Buck?
You know, Adrian Peterson continues to amaze me, his ability to be able to churn out big plays at the end. Here on a simple toss, crack, taking it around the corner, putting his foot in the ground, running through arm tackles. I don't think anyone does it as well as Adrian Peterson. But at 30 years old, still showing the burst, being able to high step 10 yards out, man, that's a tremendous play from Adrian Peterson, sealing the deal in that game.
And Rhett Ellison made a nice block. I know a little bit earlier we showed this play on the show. I mentioned Rudolph made a nice block. It was actually Rhett Ellison from USC, probably celebrating a big win over the UCLA Bruins. A new head coach for the Trojans.
How about that? New head coach probably gave Anthony Barr the business a little bit as they dispatched the Bruins in a nice fashion.
This week's DraftKings Extra Point segment on Vikings Game Plan featured John Boyle of Seahawks.com. He took the enemy's perspective and broke down this weekend's game.
The Seahawks are heading to Minnesota feeling like they've got some momentum going. They've won two in a row. They've won four of their last five and feel like they might have turned their season around, but they have a big test against the division-leading Vikings. Some of the key stories from a Seahawks perspective that I think could determine this game, for starters, how does their offensive line build off what it did the last couple weeks? They really struggled. It's a new-look line. They struggled early in the year, especially in pass protection. That's gotten a lot cleaner, and as that's gotten better, we've also seen Russell Wilson pick up his game. He's coming off back-to-back outstanding outings, passed for 8 touchdowns, no interceptions in the last 2 games.
Russell takes a shotgun snap, looks to the end zone, he throws! He's got a man in the end zone! Touchdown, Seahawks!
Along those lines with the offense, how does this offense look without Jimmy Graham? He's been a big part of what they do. He's now out for the year. They're going to need to lean on a lot of different guys to carry the slack, starting with tight end Luke Wilson, who's going to be asked to do more. But it's really going to come down to all those receivers, including Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, both coming off big games, combining for 5 touchdowns. Finally, on the other side of the ball, how does that Seahawks run defense stack up against the best rushing attack in the NFL? They've seen some good runners. They haven't seen anyone quite like Adrian Peterson yet this year. Right now, the Seahawks rank 5th in the league in yards allowed, facing an offense that leads the league in rushing yards. That right there could determine the outcome of this game.
Okay, Nate, let's keep the focus on the Seahawks to do that. It's our regular segment, Three Threats. What do you got?
Well, when you think of the Seahawks, you think of a handful of names right off the bat. We already talked about Russell Wilson.
Yes.
We know all about Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, their vaunted defense. So I tried to pick a few names that aren't as popular,
but are still threatening to us.
But are still very threatening, especially if you look at last week's game. Doug Baldwin blew up. He's had a handful of big games recently.
Mm-hmm.
Last week against Pittsburgh, 145 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns. Obviously a receiver that the Vikings are going to have to keep an eye on this week.
Yeah, it's weird because like we've gone against some of these awesome receivers throughout the season. We talk about, you know, is Xavier going to shadow him? You know, it's like, you play Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago. You play Julio Jones in Atlanta. Randall Cobb, to some extent, for the Packers. You know, and the Seahawks receivers don't have any of that big-name cred So you never really talk about like who Xavier going to be on this week. But they may not have big name credibility, but they got big game credibility because Doug Baldwin has played in Super Bowls and he's helped them win a Super Bowl. And you know, he's a guy who is fundamentally sound. He runs good routes. He doesn't make big mistakes. And Darrell Bevell, from my experience with him, is as good as it gets at designing routes to beat specific coverages. So I love this chess match between Mike Zimmer and Darrell Bevell this week. And Doug Baldwin is a key piece for Darrell Bevell in that chess match because he can execute whatever is asked of him. The numbers were gaudy last week, but even when they're not gaudy numbers, Doug Baldwin in Seahawks wins just always seems to find a way to make one or two big plays that helps lead to that win. So absolutely a good choice to put him down here for three threats. The other note I have on Doug Baldwin, he uncovers really well. So when Russell breaks the pocket to buy time, Doug Baldwin is very instinctive at uncovering and breaking off his route, going to an area that's open and being kind of a safety blanket for Russell Wilson. So watch out for Doug Baldwin.
On the Seahawks defensive side, the man in the middle is Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
There are lots of other names around him. He's developing his own pretty big name on his own. But why is Bobby Wagner such a big threat?
Well, he plays middle linebacker. He's athletic, can get from sideline to sideline. And when he runs downhill, he can really lay the wood. He's a really big hitter. My first trip to the Senior Bowl, back when Leslie Frazier's coaching staff coached the North team at the Senior Bowl, Bobby Wagner was in that game, and I remember him. I mean, he was impressive. Russell Wilson was also in that game. Kirk Cousins was in that game. So kind of fun to see some of those Senior Bowl alumni still playing in the NFL. But Bobby Wagner was a star in the actual Senior Bowl game, too. He was very good, if memory serves. Another reason that Wagner is really good is because he plays all the time. He never leaves the field. He must play on special teams because I'm going to give you the last four games, the number of snaps he's been on the field. Okay, ready?
Yep.
81. 57, 91, 61.
Almost 100 plays in a game.
So, like, I'm wondering how this is happening. It could be a typo, but it's not because I'm using the official stat system. So, I mean, Bobby Wagner is just on the field all the time. And so that tells me that he's a good player. You don't play a guy that many snaps if he can't play. That tells you that he's a well-rounded player who plays in their sub packages, plays in their base packages, and probably plays in all their special teams phases. So who doesn't want a player like that? Bobby Wagner is a stud.
Another player the Seahawks are probably glad that they got a hold of is Thomas Rawls.
Yes.
Coming in for the injured Marshawn Lynch, who's been in and out of the lineup over the course of this season and will be out for a few more weeks at least, is what it sounds like. Thomas Rawls, really, you see very little step down for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
When Thomas Rawls is in.
Yeah. And it's not like their backup running back. I don't want to disrespect Tevin Coleman, but like when we found out that Devonta Freeman wasn't going to play, it was kind of like, let's slap a high fives here, right? Like that's a big deal that he's not playing. No disrespect to Tevin Coleman. I don't think the drop off is that steep when you go to Marshawn Lynch to Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls has a 200-yard rushing game this year against the 49ers. And then if you go back a little bit further, he ran for 169 yards on the Cincinnati Bengals. Notable because the Bengals have a great defense and also because Mike Zimmer came from Cincinnati, and you have to figure that some of the defensive principles and philosophies there are the same. So Thomas Rawls can be productive. He's got three touchdowns in his last two games, and for the season he's at 5.6 yards per carry. So Lynch is out, Rawls is in, but the running game is still nothing to sneeze at. With Russell Wilson running the read option, with Thomas Rawls running downhill, the Seahawks can still run the ball. If Linval Joseph doesn't play, this matchup gets even more intriguing because he's our best run defender. So Lynch is out, but don't sleep on this running game with Thomas Rawls.
All right, we'll move on to a fan question submitted to you, Wobby.
Okay.
This question is from Reginald Fairley.
Okay, Reggie, what do you got?
Reggie says, this week poses a big challenge for the Vikings. But isn't it a good time for Norv to let Mike Wallace, Stephon Diggs, Jarius Wright, and Charles Johnson loose on a very demoralized Seattle defense?
Ooh.
You think Norv Turner is going to open up the downfield playbook?
Let's chop this up into parts and address every single one of them. This week poses a big challenge for the Vikings, no doubt. I mean, Seattle's defense has swagger. It's tough. A lot of physical players. It appears to be very healthy. So I agree, it's a big challenge. But they are coming off a game. This is what Reggie is alluding to. They're coming off a game against the Steelers in which they gave up like 13,000 yards passing.
That's a few.
Yeah.
It's got to be a record.
So I'm exaggerating there a little bit, but they gave up a lot of passing yards. And that's very unlike the Seattle defense to do that. And so I think Reggie is saying, you know, let's get them while the getting's good.
Let's keep in mind who they're playing too.
Yeah,
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are really good at passing the football. I think when it comes to like developing the game plan and devising a strategy on how to attack a defense, the beauty of it is what you have to do is blend. Okay, this is what other teams have done that's worked, so let's try and copy that. With okay, what are we good at, and how are we going to best be able to execute something? You know, because the Vikings are the Vikings; they're not the Steelers. So the Vikings can't take the Steelers' playbook and execute it on one week's notice. So the art of game planning for these coaches and for Norv is to blend those two things: what worked well against them that other teams do, and what will work well against them that we do. So, you know, the Vikings, at least right now, are not an air-it-out team. I don't think Teddy's going to have 350 passing yards in this game. Maybe he will.
That was actually one of our over-unders.
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll surprise us and he'll do that. But that's just not what the Vikings' identity has been so far. The Vikings' identity is ground and pound and then hit them when it counts through the air, or hit them when you need to through the air. That's what the Vikings have done. Case in point, last week in Atlanta, the very first scoring drive. The game was dominated by Adrian Peterson, who had another 100-yard rushing game on 29 carries. But if you look at that first scoring drive, it was Teddy Bridgewater and the passing game that got the job done. 67 passing yards on the first scoring drive. Adrian went in, I believe, from 1 yard out. So to me, it's let's not become the Steelers. Let's stick with who we are, a dominant running team that uses the run to set up the pass. And then when the time is right, let's hit them where it counts in the passing game. Big third down conversions from Teddy to Jarius Wright or Teddy to Stephon Diggs, some play action once you've established the run on first and second down. I think that's the way to attack this pass defense. I don't think you just come out guns a-blazing and go four wide and start throwing vertical routes at them. I think you're kind of playing into their hands if you're the Vikings at that point. So I expect more Adrian Peterson. And really, with all due respect to the teams we've played, Nate, no one has really stopped our running game. When the running game has been slowed down, it's been because penalties are setting us back in the down and distance, like against Green Bay. And then the run kind of gets taken out of the offense's hands, and they have to go into the all-pass game because it's second and long, third and long, or you're trailing by two touchdowns in the second half.
Well, you just saw Atlanta was one of the top rush defenses in the NFL.
Right. I mean, they came into that game number one in the NFL in rushing defense, and they left the game number 10 in rushing defense.
It's a decent drop.
That's what we do to teams. So hopefully we'll do that to Seattle. If we're not able to do that to Seattle, then Teddy and the passing game are definitely going to have to jump up and respond. And to Reggie's point, hopefully Mike Wallace, Stephon Diggs, Jarius Wright, Charles Johnson, Adam Thielen, Cordarrelle Patterson, Kyle Rudolph, Rhett Ellison, Mykole Pruitt, and the running backs can all step in and contribute. Because we know this Vikings passing game does not rely on just one or two guys. Teddy spreads it around. I believe there was a game earlier in the season where Teddy hit 11 different receivers in the game. I challenge you to find many quarterbacks who have done that over the course of the season.
I didn't even know we had 11 receivers.
Right. We found a way to get it done. Norv getting it done with 11 different receivers. I can't remember what game that was, but it's like Zach Lyon and Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon all had catches. So I don't think you want to go out of body and try and be someone else. I think you got to keep doing what you do well.
We'll move on to over-unders, and I'm flipping the script on you to keep with the theme of the receivers for the Vikings.
Okay.
Jarius Wright. Uh-huh. The last time the Vikings played Seattle, Jarius Wright had 3 catches, but he had a huge game, 69 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
One of them burning Richard Sherman, which not a lot of guys can say they've done that before.
On a double move. Yeah, that's right.
Double move. So the first over-under we're going to look at is catches for Jarius Wright. Had a huge effect on that game, only had 3 catches. So let's put the over-under at 3.5.
Okay.
Do you think he will have a similar effect on this game in terms of number of receptions?
Yep. I'm going to go over on this. You know, Jarius is on the field a bunch. He's a key guy on third down. This would be a great spot for me to have a really cool third down stat with Jarius Wright, but I don't have it. But I'm willing to bet you that Jarius has a high percentage of his targets and catches are on third downs. And so I think we're going to be in third down in this game quite a bit, and I think Teddy's going to look to Jarius to get the job done on the money down. And so I'm going over 3.5 receptions for Jarius Wright on Sunday.
Russell Wilson, you talked about his athleticism and his ability to scramble, get out of the pocket, not always scramble downfield, but to buy time for his receivers to get open.
Yeah.
But sometimes he does scramble down the field. and gain some of those rushing yards. So let's look at rushing yards for Russell Wilson. Let's put the over-under at 27.5. And I know you did a little bit of research into some of his previous games where he has garnered some of those rushing yards. So yes. Tell me a little bit about that before we go over or under.
Well, Russell has 399 rushing yards on the season. Three games, he's been over 50 yards. And there is one common thread in all three of those games.
What's that?
They have lost all three of those games.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's like if Russell runs for 200 yards, you know, they're going to win the game. But, I mean, if he's running the ball a lot, it probably means things aren't going according to plan. And when things don't go according to plan, all bets are off. So, I guess in a weird way, we kind of want whatever your number is going to be over.
The number is set at 27.5.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is kind of awkward.
Well,
but just look at the stat itself. Over okay. or under 27.5?
I'm going to say over. I'm going to say okay. over that. You know, I think he's going to have two, three, four handful of designed slash option runs where he's running the zone read, and if the DN collapses on the running back, he's going to keep it and run. Naked bootlegs where Bevel designs a play for him to get outside of the pocket, reduce the field in half, and if nothing is open, he runs. And then I think that we're going to get after him a little bit, and he's going to have to try and escape. So I think he's going to have rushes that way. And I think it's going to happen enough times where at 5.1 yards per carry, he's going to get over 27.5. So I'm over on this, and I think the further he is over, as long as it's under 100 yards, the better chance we have to win.
Interesting. Okay, finally, for the third over-under, we're going to look at total points scored in this game.
Yeah.
We're going to put the over-under at 42.5, which if you think about it, isn't a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of NFL games will have many more points than that. But you look at the Vikings' number two scoring defense, and what was Seattle's?
They are number
eight.
Yep, they are number eight.
So two of the better scoring defenses in the NFL. So one would not expect there to be a huge point total in this game.
And I believe they were number three or four going into last week's game, but they gave up a 30 spot to the Steelers, which dropped them down to number eight. So, you know, that counts. They're now number eight. You are what your record says you are, but this is a very good defense, a very good scoring defense.
So would you take over or under 42.5 total points?
I'm going to go under.
Under, okay.
That's a
so
very
low scoring game.
Yep. That's, you know, that point total is appropriate for this game, and but it's also low. I mean, that's low for an NFL game, as you alluded to, and I think it's going to be under that. I think this is a meat grinder, low-scoring, points are at a premium type of game. I'm a very big proponent, Nate, you know, digressing here a little bit. I don't think coaches go for it enough on fourth down in the NFL. You know, and I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying from a personal preference, you know, like when we're playing the Packers – you know, on the balls, like at their 40 or midfield or
week 17
40.
At Lambeau.
Okay. Like, and it's fourth and two, and then they choose to punt or kick a field goal. I'm pumping my fist, you know, because I think if they go for it, they're going to make that. Not just against us, but against any team. It's only 2 yards to go, you know, and now if you make it, you've increased your chances of scoring. And if you stall out later, you now have a higher percentage field goal. Anyway, in this game, though, you take points whenever you can get them. In this Vikings-Seahawks game, points are at a premium. You take them when you can get them, and I think the total will be under 42.5. Okay, before we wrap it up, Nate, should we take a look at the playoff picture?
Please do, because it's fun to do when you're in it.
Yes. So should we start with the NFC?
Sure.
All right. You have the Carolina Panthers, the 1 seed. Arizona, 2 seed. Minnesota Vikings, 3 seed. Okay? So that's where you sit right now. If you want to catch one of the top 2 seeds, you're chasing the undefeated Carolina Panthers and the 9-2 Arizona Cardinals. At 8-3, the Vikings have a shot at both. It's a stretch to get to the 1 seed. A legitimate shot, though, Nate, at the Arizona Cardinals and the 2 seed, because there are still 5 games to go, and because
next week is a very big one of those 5 games.
We play the Arizona Cardinals. And as we stand right now, as I mentioned earlier, we hold the current tiebreaker over Arizona by virtue of record in common games. Our win percentage is higher than theirs. So they are in our sights. But there are teams behind us, and we're in their sights. Those teams include a couple of wildcard teams. The Green Bay Packers at 8-4 are the 5th seed, and the Seattle Seahawks at 6-5 are the 6th seed. As you've said, second straight week, we will play what would be the sixth seed in the NFC playoff field. So Carolina 1, Arizona 2, Minnesota 3, the NFC East leading Washington Redskins 4th, Green Bay 5th, Seattle 6th. That's the playoff field, folks. Still in the hunt, the Atlanta Falcons, who just were defeated by the Minnesota Vikings at 6-5. They would be the next team in should the Seattle Seahawks lose this week, which we hope they do because they play us. After that, three teams are in the hunt at 5-6 still. The Buccaneers, the Giants, who come here in Week 16, and the Bears, who come here in Week 15. So the Vikings fighting in their own right for playoff positioning, but also because they have games remaining on the schedule with Green Bay, Seattle, the Giants, and the Bears, all of whom are behind them. The Vikings will have a huge say in what the NFC playoff field will be come the beginning of January. Let's go to the AFC very quickly. Patriots, first seed. Bengals at 9-2, second seed. Denver at 9-2, third seed. The Indianapolis Colts are leaders of the AFC South, so they have the fourth seed right now. The two wildcard teams, Kansas City and Houston, knocking on the door to get in are the Jets and the Steelers, who have the same record as the two wildcard teams, Kansas City and Houston. All four of those teams are at 6-5. So still a lot of spots up for grabs in both the AFC and the NFC. One, two, or three teams could drop out of the playoff race with losses this week. Everyone else will still remain in because there will be four games to go even after this week's game. So, as you're watching games other than the Vikings game, let's go over the Vikings fan viewer guide for Week 13 in the NFL.
Okay, Wubby.
Two teams that you're rooting for this week, Nate.
Besides the Vikings?
Besides the Vikings.
Well, let's start on the West Coast. Well, a West Coast team playing in Chicago. That's the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. The 49ers, folks, they're a team you're rooting for. They play the Bears. The Bears are 5-6 right now. So they're three games behind us, but they've won two straight. They're playing very well, and they're going to try and sneak in as a wild card. And if the Vikings and Packers don't take care of business and they go on terrible losing streaks, the Bears are going to have their eye on the division. That's not a preposterous statement. So, crazier things have happened. You want the Bears to lose, folks. You don't want that red-hot Chicago Bears team sneaking into the playoffs. I'm not joking. They're red-hot right now. They're on a winning streak, and over the last four games, they have the number five scoring defense in the NFL. Over the last four games, their defense is giving up fewer points per game than the Patriots, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Bengals, and the Seahawks. So the Chicago Bears are getting hot, and you want the San Francisco 49ers to cool them off on Sunday. Up next, the Rams. We beat the Rams. They're well behind us, but they're playing a team that's ahead of us, the Arizona Cardinals, and the game is in St. Louis. So, folks, you are rooting for the St. Louis Rams. I know you're still mad at Jeff Fisher's team because they knocked Teddy Bridgewater out of the game. Teddy came back, and he's okay. Let's mend the fences. We're cheering for the Rams this week to beat the Arizona Cardinals because we need to take care of business against the Seahawks. And if we do, the number two seed is in our sights, and we can have it if the Arizona Cardinals drop their game on Sunday to the Rams. So you're cheering for the St. Louis Rams and the San Francisco 49ers, folks, once the Vikings are done playing the Seahawks on Sunday. Okay, that's it, folks. One more note before we go. Next week, just one Wobcast. Because of the short week, the Vikings play the Seahawks on Sunday. They turn around 4 days later, and they play at Arizona, which means Nate and I and the rest of the Vikings will be traveling on Wednesday. One Wobcast next week. Submit your questions, your thoughts, anything you want us to talk about. We'll get it done on the Wobcast next week. One Wobcast next week. We hope you're able to check it out. And we hope you check out the Vikings game on Sunday. They play the Seahawks at noon from TCF Bank Stadium. Catch the game on Fox or on the Vikings Radio Network. And if you catch it on the radio, you'll hear the best play-by-play guy in the NFL, Paul Allen, calling the game with Pete Bursich by his side and Greg Coleman calling the action from the sidelines. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This Wobcast is over. Have a great weekend. Skol Vikings, and talk to you next week.